true believers, to our marvelous Marvel Marathon here at Cinema d'Amore. I am James Reinhardt.
And I am Justin Morgan.
And it's only us today. It's going to be like we're like a dynamic duo.
Yeah, I think it might have happened that way because this is, I've learned this is the least memorable movie of all the Marvel movies. I've got to get it right off my chest, right off the bat. The character of Claw from that Andy Serkis plays in Black Panther completely forgot
that he was in
was even in this movie and kind of has somewhat of an origin and that it has anything to do with Black Panther. That's how much that this movie didn't even impact me.
Wow. My opinion changed this movie because when I saw it in theaters, like, I thought it was okay. And when I rewatched it for this, I really enjoyed it up until a point. Which I guess we can get into later, but
Joss Whedon. This is Joss Whedon's second movie. I thought he handled the Avengers, the first Avengers, not Captain America, the first Avenger, but the Avenger. Marvel's the Avengers.
Yeah,
I thought he did a really good job with that movie, and I don't know about this one so much. Where it kind of begins in the same style that the Avengers ended, with the camera that could just move around freely and follow all these characters. I mean, within a minute or two, they were doing slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
The banter's great. I think that's one of Joss Whedon's, like, gifts.
Yeah.
Is to be able to get all these characters, like, diverse, but always making it very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said that correct well at all.
No, I mean, they all have their individual voices, but they're also, you know, speaking very Whedon-esque dialogue.
Oh, yeah, and the comedy is really, I think, kind of sharp with some of the villains. The first villain, whose name I don't remember already.
Oh, Strucker.
Yeah, Strucker, where they're like, we never surrender. And then he's like, we're going to surrender.
Yeah, I love that.
Too. And the other guys, one of the subordinates, they're like, we gotta stop them. And he's like, but they're the Avengers. Like, what are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
I think, is it early on too where Iron Man comes in, he takes those people out, and he was like, good negotiations. And one character just goes, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's just like some random person.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people in this movie that I didn't remember even had cameos in it or came back in the movie at all.
Yeah, we see Falcon. We see
Heimdall.
War Machine. Yeah, Heimdall. Loki had a cameo that was cut.
Aww.
Yeah, I guess apparently during that scene with Heimdall, Loki's there.
That's weird. They kept him. Peggy Carter's back.
Peggy Carter, yeah.
I'm sure we could keep going, but we probably already forgot them.
Obviously, Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis. They could not get Natalie Portman to come or want to do anything with Marvel ever again. But they talk about her, so like she's a thing that's going on. It kind of, Natalie Portman not wanting to be in the Marvel Universe makes Thor look like the biggest dick in the world, where they're like, what's going on with Jane? I don't know. Things.
Yeah.
And it has that Karate Kid 2 aspect where it kind of destroys the whole love story from the older movie.
Yeah, it is weird, because, like, I thought, because, like, there's a scene where, like, Thor and Tony are bantering about whose girlfriend's better, and I really thought, because knowing that Portman wasn't coming back, that Thor was going to have, like, a part where he breaks down and is like, oh, yeah, Jane left me. Like, I haven't told anyone. But we don't get that. And then this one ends with Thor leaving Earth to go look for Infinity Stones. And when he comes back in Ragnarok, like, there's a throwaway line about Jane dumping him. So I'm like, so what? Did he just leave Earth and not tell her? Or did they break up before he left Earth? Like, what happened with that?
His story was the weird one that the studio, I guess, chose to cut.
Yeah.
He's the one that goes out to try to figure out how to stop Ultron, the villain we didn't mention. That's he's the title character of this movie. I think, jumping back a little bit, the plot is a little weird in this movie where Tony all of a sudden kind of wants to create this artificial intelligence. He does the Death Star Force Awakens thing. Well, this is the same year, so they beat it to Force Awakens to be like, see this? Here's the bigger version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing Jarvis to Ultron. But I really do, maybe not so much the effects, but maybe it's just the voice of James Spader. I don't know what it is. But I'm, like, kind of hypnotized and really enjoy his becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
It's a really cool scene where he's like, where am I? And Jarvis is trying to shut him down. And I don't think Ultron is a great character, but James Spader makes him a really interesting character, or at least the way that he plays him, like this neurotic, I don't know what to call him. Words escape me.
Much like Ultron when he forgot children, the word children.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think Spader is a good performance, and Ultron, like, I like the idea behind it, that Tony is still dealing with the aftermath of New York, so he creates something, he wants to create something to help protect Earth in case, you know, the Chitauri come back and it goes bad. But I think my thing is, like, Ultron just isn't a very threatening villain, because, like, they defeat him easily so many times, but the whole thing is, like, you know, he's in the internet, so he just jumps to a new body. And even the scene, like, the mid-movie...
It should have just been called The Avengers versus the Internet.
Yeah, the Internet is something you can't kill. But even, like, the scene with Andy Serkis, where they get in this big fight in Africa, Ultron doesn't really do anything to the Avengers. It's Scarlet Witch who's the one that takes them all down. Like, her powers are the one that undoes all the Avengers.
And they introduce... you don't know this, but they're Magneto's kids. They're just rewritten. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, like, really sleeper characters. Not very exciting in this movie. I think Scarlet Witch gets better maybe in Civil War. But this movie, I don't know. I really didn't have a lot of draw to her. I didn't even feel their dilemma's pretty big with, like, the poverty and the death of their parents and everything. But just the way it was shot, I don't know if it's just because it was too jokey before that or they gloss over it too quickly. I didn't really feel that. I didn't feel that connection I thought that I should have.
Yeah, I think that's this movie's fatal flaws. It was trying to do too much, where they're introducing Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch. You're introducing Vision in the third act. You're also building up for Civil War. You're building up for Thor Ragnarok. You're planting another Infinity Stone because you're building up for Infinity War.
You're explaining Infinity Stones, finally.
Yeah, the Avengers learn about them. And I think a lot got lost in the shuffle. And I think Quicksilver's character, I definitely think, got the short end of the stick, where there really isn't anything to him. And Scarlet Witch, who I think is a great character in the comics, I think she shows it here. Like, I liked her character a lot more in this than I like Quicksilver. But we don't, you know, yeah, she is definitely a lot better in Civil War.
Because he's kind of like a dick. You know what I did like? When they were costuming up and he just had tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Like, he's essentially just wearing exercise clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny. I like the whole hammer thing.
Oh, when you're lifting it. Yeah, I like that scene.
I like that. And it comes back into play later. It's a nice plant and payoff that you don't realize that you're getting.
Yeah.
But I love the banter where they're like, what if it's in an elevator? But, you know. Will it go up?
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about all the different concepts of this thing.
And Thor's face when Captain America budges it.
Yeah, that is great. Well, we get the Paul Bettany, the voice of Jarvis, finally makes his debut as a person of sorts.
Yeah, artificial person, I guess.
Yeah, Ultron wants a body because he does. And Tony gets the idea to bring artificial intelligence, or somewhat more malleable artificial intelligence, through Jarvis into a body because he's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand his... I believe Bruce... There's this conversation between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner where Bruce Banner's like, why would we do that? And his response is like, we're the mad scientists.
Yeah.
And I am thinking, that's a terrible reason to try and do this. Destroy it. Just don't let him become that.
It is, especially Banner, who's like, you know, he's obviously seen what happens when experiments gone awry. But yeah, so they stop Ultron from creating his body, which is one of my issues with the movie, but I guess I'll get into that later. But they bring it back as the Vision, played by Paul Bettany.
Yeah, and he kind of has this cool, like, just his awakening through, like, they it circles back around to Jarvis, who's a character that's been here since the very first movie, and, like, the Alfred, I guess, of, he's the Alfred Pennyworth of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's given life, and he's become something new, and this Pinocchio theme that they have going on with Ultron out of thin air, Ultron's love for Pinocchio, is more fitting to the character Vision, who's more appreciative of the gift that he's been given.
Yeah. And I think as Vision said, like, he's not on anyone's side, he's on the side of life. And that's why he opposes Ultron.
And it doesn't help too much that they had to keep saying, like, they say about 5 times, Ultron can't tell if he's helping or hurting. He can't tell if he's creating or destroying, or however they go about saying it. I don't know if there's anything, any one moment that really stands out in this movie, because I forgot exactly what happens with any of the movie. I started watching the movie and forgot about the whole Veronica thing, the Hulk Buster, fighting the Hulk. That's maybe one of the more visually appealing scenes. Like,
that's probably my favorite scene in the movie, is the fight scene with the Hulkbuster, Iron Man, and Hulk himself.
It's the most, you can tell it's the most thought out.
Yeah.
And it's maybe more of an exciting scene than the final scene where Sokovia, Sokovia. Just floating away.
Yeah.
And people can still breathe somehow.
Yeah, the ending of that, like, seems to me like the ending was really an attempt to try and recapture the magic of the ending of the first Avengers, where they're like, everyone loved this ending where all the superheroes are bantering and fighting the bad guys, so we're gonna do it again, and all these on a city that's floating. And, like, a lot of that started to feel familiar. There's even, like, the scene where Ultron's gonna go and, you know, evil monologue, and he gets smacked by the Hulk. And that was, and that's ultimately my issue, is this movie, like, had a natural ending point, and it shot past it. Because after the big fight scene in Africa, after the Hulk fights Tony and
Hulkbuster, that amazing scene where the Hulkbuster is, like, spring-loaded, punching him in the face.
Yeah, and he's like, go to sleep. Like, that's an amazing scene, but it's also the natural low point for the team. The team have all been overtaken by their own personal demons. Tony Stark has had to beat up his friend in a very public setting, and they go to regroup on Hawkeye's farm. We learn about Hawkeye's family. We learn, you know, that he just
has a family.
He has a family that he's been hiding it, you know, for reasons. We understand why. And this is where they're trying to regroup themselves. And it makes sense that after that scene is the ending, that, like, that's the third act. The Avengers regroup. They go back to fight. You know, Fury comes back to whip them into shape. And it makes sense. Like, okay, now they're going to go and fight Ultron and save the day. But there's still a lot of movie after that. Because then we get Ultron trying to create his body. We get this fight scene in Korea. And, you know, Black Widow gets captured for really no reason. Like, that never, I think the story could have existed without that. She gets captured. Thor goes and finds this pool, and which explains Infinity Wars, which is another thing I want to get into. And, you know, then we get
kind of.
And then we get Vision rising up, and then we get this big battle scene in Sokovia, this floating city.
Well, Vision's, like, pivotal, like, the moment where you realize that you don't fuck around with Vision, mm-hmm. is where he is holding up Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Which is a great moment. I forgot about it again. Sorry. This movie. But the whole movie I kept watching, and I've seen the movie 3 times. This is the third time I've watched it. I've not watched it maybe as many as times as the others. I forgot about that. I didn't know he was in this. I don't remember anything about this movie. Because it kind of does a good job of setting up things to come in the future that are, it doesn't feel like Iron Man 2 where it's a trailer.
Yeah.
It's maybe a movie that was a little too convoluted, and they should have just cut something out of it.
Yeah, and from what I understand, that caused a lot of friction between Joss Whedon and Marvel, because I listened to a podcast, I think it was the Empire podcast, but Whedon was talking about this movie. It was like right after the movie came out, and he was very candid that him and Marvel their good working relationship from the first Avengers soured with this one. And a lot of it came down to what to cut down, where Whedon had this farm scene, but he also had the scene with Thor with this pool where he goes, and that scene's a lot longer. Originally, Thor goes and gets Selvig and has Selvig accompany him to this magic pool where...
I watched the deleted scene and it still didn't seem like enough.
Yeah, I don't know isn't it like the nymph like possesses Thor and Selvig asks her questions or something?
Yeah, they have to find this pool of something, the truth or something. And Selvig explains that there's one on every planet. Sort of like how in Thor 2, all the planets are kind of connected in a way. So, yeah, Thor becomes possessed by a legion or something, and he's fighting him as he's telling Selvig stuff that I don't really think Selvig could 100% grasp.
Oh, okay. Like, I knew there's more to it. There's a lead scene, but I never watched it.
Well, when Scarlet Witch mind controls people, they're seeing kind of the future a little bit, too, because Tony is the first person to kind of see the future, and he sees them all dead. Thor's future kind of leads him to wanting to go see this pool, and he needs to go back for reasons that we don't see, which is why we learn about the Infinity Stones, and we learn that in this quick visual that four of the things that we've seen before are Infinity Stones.
Yeah, I knew there was more, and I guess that was a lot of the friction between Whedon and Marvel's. Marvel wanted that cut, or they wanted the farm cut, and Whedon refused to cut them. And in his words, he said Marvel held a gun to the farm's head and said, you know, cut the thing in the pool or the farm's getting cut. And he relented and did that. And, like, you know, it sucks that this relationship soured, but I kind of see Marvel's point where, like, stuff needed to be cut down. Like, I do think the big flaw of this movie is that the third act just goes way too fucking long.
I'd be interested to know. Yeah, it could be Joss Whedon, but this seems weird because after, maybe it's the characters, really trusting with James Gunn and the Guardians of the Galaxy, Joss Whedon's one of the ones that came out, the movie we'll talk about tomorrow, Ant-Man. He said that Ant-Man script that Edgar Wright wrote is the best thing that he's ever read from Marvel, period.
Yeah.
And Edgar Wright could not make the movie that he wanted to make. And I don't understand why you would hire this person and not want that movie. Like, I'll talk about it more tomorrow, but what made me excited to see Ant-Man was the Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
I'm assuming making an Edgar Wright movie. Joss Whedon does kind of capture that from what I've seen of Buffy and Firefly. He has that camaraderie that he really covers well.
Yeah.
And you can tell when he has money, these Marvel movies, he's able to pull off some pretty nice things that he couldn't do otherwise.
Yeah.
Does it make him a perfect person? No. He might be part of as much as the problem as the studios.
Yeah, and I think, at least with this, it seems like a battle of egos, where Whedon's ego against, you know, Marvel's ego, and I don't know really what happened. It seems like...
And then there is really ego, the character.
Yeah, there's ego, which... but yeah, I don't... Like, it seemed like there's just too much going on in this movie, and I think Marvel was trying to salvage it, and Whedon didn't really agree with what they wanted to cut. And I like the farm stuff a lot, but I do think some of the farm stuff could have been cut, too. Because, like, there's this really long scene with Black Widow and the Hulk where it just seems very melodramatic, where they're just talking about their relationship. And that scene, like, I have no issues with the Black Widow-Hulk relationship, but that scene just seems so, like, it definitely felt like it could have been cut down. And it seems it was so melodramatic for a movie like this.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder where the problems were. I'm assuming when the script came out, it was not a 3-hour script. I'm imagining the scenes of the battle, like the opening battle, the end battle, the Hulk fight.
Yeah.
Went way longer than they thought they would have been.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I just think it kind of went off the rails at some point. And like I said, I feel like the natural ending could have been after the farm. They go try and stop Ultron from creating his body. you know, they take control of it. Vision comes, have his final battle.
And instantly destroys him or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we could have, I think it could have been easily wrapped up. But I just think, like, the third act, that's my main issue of this movie.
Your Ragnar. Oh, we had, I forgot already. And I just rewatched the movie. Samuel Jackson was back in it again.
Yeah, yeah. He shows up at the farm to, like, whip them into shape. And at the end, he shows up with a helicarrier to save the day.
As he should.
Which is, there's a little detail I noticed this time where he's on the helicarrier. One of the guys piloting the helicarrier was a SHIELD agent that we last saw in Winter Soldier. And he was the agent that refused to activate the three, like, evil helicarriers. And Rumlow puts the gun to his head and forces him to do it. And so we saw him do that in Winter Soldier, and now we see him, he's still working at Fury, and he's piloting his helicarrier.
That's a nice catch.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that. I guess that's the point of this little marathon, to catch these things like that.
Yeah, hopefully. It's kind of nice to be able to see the big picture, and it's nice to revisit these before we get to the big one, the Infinity War.
It is.
Watch it suck. I mean, I don't want it to, but could you imagine doing all these episodes and building up to it,
and we're just like, yeah, I don't know.
It's just though, it's this times two or something. We're like, we don't understand why so much shit was in it. It wasn't any good.
I feel like I don't.
We're just silent on the podcast. We're just like, what did you think?
It is one of those things where, like, it's easy to say, like, it would be an easy criticism to say that there's too much going on in Infinity War because every fucking Marvel character is in this movie. But I feel like they have to know that, and they have had to have prepared in some way.
It's got to kind of have the X-Men thing where you just have to, you got to make Thanos a bigger character and make people care about him more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the movie as a whole can't stand alone, but that's what all these other movies were for. So everyone can get their moments.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the X-Men movies, X2, for example, he only has one moment, but I love Pyro's scene where he kind of turns to evil and takes out those cops. Yeah,
even in X2, Colossus's cameo, I think, is one of the best cameos in any superhero movie, period. And that's all you need is, like, you know, the soldier shooting him, and he becomes steel and throws him through a wall.
And he's protecting these kids, and you don't have to know anything more about him. Yeah. That's it. That's all you need to know.
And that's what I think is going to be, like, Infinity, because I think Tom Holland said in an interview that his role of Spider-Man is very small. And I think maybe we'll get Spider-Man in a few scenes, we'll get Doctor Strange in a few scenes, and maybe at the end they all come together for this big battle against Thanos.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, my theory is still that it probably just ends with him getting the Infinity Stones.
That's what I think.
And then they're like, oh, fuck, and then it's credits.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And I don't even know.
Some cool rock music. What would the after credit scene mean? Because they're still going to do the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, how much can they affect if, unless the time's different? The Ant-Man and the Wasp could be happening at the same time or beforehand.
Yeah, I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to take place before, but once again, I don't know if we'll have to... We'll see you when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Stan Lee cameo was pretty good.
I love it for obvious reasons.
You love it because he gets drunk off of Thor's liquor.
He gets drunk off of Asgardian liquor and slurs out, Excelsior!
In the most, like, unenthused way.
Yeah. Can't blame him. He's getting older.
Yeah, he's an Omaha Beach veteran. And he thinks he's tough enough to drink 1,000-year-old liquor.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I would try 1,000-year-old liquor. I mean, why not?
Too, but I'd probably be in Stan Lee's shoes, too, where I just, yeah.
Oh, you're tiny. You would definitely be in his shoes. You'd be gone.
Yeah, no, I would definitely. I mean, I can't do shots now because I'm a tiny dude and they just get to me. But, yeah, I would be.
You're like, can you water that down for me? Our after credits scene.
Yeah, we only got one in this one.
And it's weird because it's not really after the credits.
It's mid-credits, and yeah, there's nothing after it. But we see Thanos putting on the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, what is that thing? What does it do?
It holds the Infinity Stones.
Oh.
Hmm.
It looks like it had four. But it holds all six?
I think it does, yeah. Because you got the fingers, and there's one in the middle. Like.
Oh, there's like a thumb?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so he puts the gauntlet on and says that he's going to do it himself. Which we're assuming means gathering all the stones.
And then we don't see him for another 10 movies.
Yeah, we don't. No, I think this is, correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, but I think this is the last time we see Thanos, right?
We'll find out. Until, I feel like it.
Yeah, until Infinity War. That is, I think this is the last time
he's not mentioned in Thor Ragnarok or anything.
Thor mentions that he's looking for someone that he is going for the stones, but he didn't find any leads. And then, obviously, in the post-credits scene, we see in Thanos' ship, but we don't see Thanos himself.
Yeah, I forgot, and I fast-forwarded through the credits at the end of this to find nothing.
Yeah, I did the same.
I'm like, maybe this is the movie I forgot. Mm-hmm. It's the movie that everyone remembers, and when I'm watching movies in the theater, and everyone gets up, and I'm like, where the fuck are you guys going? This is where they show shit.
Yeah, Lexi and I got into debate over when does that post-credit scene take place? Because my headcanon is that post-credits scene takes place right after Guardians of the Galaxy, where right after Ronan turns on Thanos, Thanos goes to his fucking closet and gets the Infinity Gauntlet and says...
It has to be, because he doesn't have any connection with Ultron, so it's not like Ultron lost.
Yeah.
It's set up as if Ultron lost, I'll take over.
Mm. Yeah, that's what's weird about it, is it is almost like Ultron fucked up, but yeah, Ultron has no connection to him.
It's like Steve said on Guardians of the Galaxy... That should have been the post-credit scene for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Him getting the glove. And then that'd be great when Avengers comes and he's not the villain in it. It's just Ultron.
Yeah. Yeah, which is... I think
what's going on with Thanos? Who gives a shit? We're holding off on him.
Yeah, and... So I don't know... I don't know why they had that post-credit other than just build up for the third Avengers film, but like I said, my headcanon is that scene actually takes place right after Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now, our MVP for this movie. I'll rep Chuck. Chuck is feeling Hawkeye. And I feel Hawkeye gets a backstory, but I don't know if it's something I would consider a character arc or something very pivotal.
I liked Hawkeye a lot in this, but my MVP is almost Scarlet Witch, because I think she was a far more effective villain than Ultron. Is almost her, but my MVP is Vision, because he's a character I never gave a shit about in the comics, and he became my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, he's got this very emotional... I keep saying the same thing over and over again. He makes you feel something for this character that was an animatronic voice.
Yeah.
That's all he was. He was Tony Stark's toy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has feelings.
Yeah, and I love his awakening scene, his interaction with the Avengers, like him lifting Thor's hammer. Or even at the end when he's ultimately the one that kills Ultron. Ultron's in his final body.
The last Ultron.
Yeah, the last Ultron's getting away, and Vision, him and Vision have this confrontation in the woods.
It's a great scene. It reminds me a little bit of Watchmen. I don't know if it's just too Dr. Manhattan-like. But when he's, or maybe Dr. Manhattan's too Vision-like, I have no idea. But where he just kind of starts to attack him, and it's this faraway scene where the woods just get lit up, and you know that's it, he's done.
That, and Vision has a really good line where Ultron, like, is telling that humanity is doomed, and Vision's like, I know, but there's grace in their failings. And he goes, but a thing isn't beautiful because it lasts. It's a really great, I love that line. But yeah, then he murders Ultron. And, like, even before that, there's kind of hints of him and Scarlet Witch having a relationship. You know, he saves her from the city being destroyed.
And she's like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, boy.
And, also she kind of almost kills Ultron. It seems like she kills him, but Vision gets the final blow in, obviously. I never really liked him in the comics, but I thought he's great. I thought Paul Bettany is great as a character, and he only gets better in Civil War, I think.
Now, who's the voice of Friday?
Who's the voice of Friday in this one. But
yeah. I know Jennifer Connelly takes over, but I don't feel like that's until Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly is the voice of Spider-Man's suit, the AI Spider-Man suit in Homecoming. But I don't know who is Friday. Let me consult the Oracle here.
It was Friday, right?
Yeah, that's the name
Friday. I felt like I was not saying the right name.
It's probably like someone we've never heard of before.
It's probably somebody huge. It's probably like Judi Dench or something.
It doesn't sound like Judi Dench, but what do I know?
It's Andy Serkis.
He's somehow doing an Irish woman's voice.
He does it all. He does it all, people.
Yeah, we do get an origin for him in this. You know, gets his arm ripped off by Ultron.
I can't believe I didn't remember that. Well, earlier we were talking about vibranium, and it might have been in our Black Panther special episode.
I brought up our Black Panther episode, yeah.
But he doesn't bring it. It's weird. There's large amounts of vibranium, but I don't feel that this contradicts Black Panther at all. I don't think anything in this movie contradicts Black Panther.
No, I agree. I don't think it does. All right, so the actress voiced in Friday is named Carrie Condon.
I don't know who that is.
She was in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing. She played a character named Pamela. She was inspired... Oh, I see. Friday, Spider-Man Homecoming. Lots of TV credits.
You know what you're forgetting, too? You were jacked about the Wakanda reference where they don't say Wakanda right.
Oh, yeah.
But they quickly correct it.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I thought it was just like they let it go.
Well, for me as a fan, I was just excited to hear them referencing Wakanda when I saw this in 2015. I'm like, yes, Wakanda. And I thought we were going to see it. But that was just, I think, they said it was just South Africa that the city earned it was not Wakanda. But I enjoyed seeing Claw because I knew he was a villain in Black Panther comics, and I assumed he'd be the main villain of the movie, which he wasn't, which is a pleasant surprise. But yeah, I enjoyed that little plant payoff 2 years later, 3 years later, almost.
Yeah. Sorry, it was just a... I'm like, wait a minute, it was a plant? I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, there he is. Oh, shit, Ultron ripped his arm off. That's why he doesn't have an arm.
Yeah. There's lots of that. Which, like I said, I think that's the kind of the fatal flaw of this movie, is that there's too much going on and too much setup. And
too much going on. I do like the moment, too, where Black Widow pushes Banner to get the Hulk out.
Yeah.
And that's the last she ever sees of Banner.
Yeah.
Up until maybe Infinity War.
That's another thing it sets up, yeah, because there's Hulk going off into ship and setting up Ragnarok.
I do like how they set up that maybe he's hiding in Fiji or the ship went down. We don't know.
Yeah, they're like, we think the ship went down, but we don't know. Yeah, it was one of those things where I think they weren't sure where they're going to take the Hulk. So they're like, he could be in space or he could be on Earth. We don't know, but you'll have to see.
He's in space.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, that's where he's at.
I figured if with him not showing up in Civil War that he'd be in space.
Oh, I'm a little scatterbrained, probably because I'm a little tired tonight.
That's fair.
I would agree with you with Vision. I don't know if I made that clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with making Vision the MVP. I thought he had a lot of the best moments in the movie.
Yeah.
I got a steelbook of Age of Ultron when it came out. And I had to choose between Ultron and Vision. And I went with Ultron just because of the namesake.
That makes sense.
So, I wasn't buying two of them.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, that's my story. Everybody was dying to
hear.
That's
your big Age of Ultron steelbook story.
Yeah. Anything more that you wanted to say about the Infinity Stones?
Not really. I mean, we've, at this point in the timeline, we've seen, what, three of them?
Four.
Technically four. The Avengers are only aware of three, but we've seen four. So we get a little bit more backstory, and that's where we see Thor. Thor is the only Avenger that stays on point. He leaves Earth to go find out who's looking for the Infinity Stones, because he starts to suspect that someone is. And I'm sure we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much our episode.
That is it. Yeah, that is Age of Ultron.
Yeah. We're at Cinema de More. Hope you're enjoying this long streak. But we're more than halfway through.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Tomorrow I'm a little excited to talk about Ant-Man. And you'll find out tomorrow why.
Yeah, Ant-Man tomorrow, guys. Thanks for listening to our long streak, if you're listening to every one of these episodes. You can find me at James Reinhardt.
I'm at JJMorgan19. Or on iTunes and Google Play. Subscribe, rate, and review us.
Yes, please, guys. Please let us know what you think. And we'll see you tomorrow. Excelsior.
Excelsior. Or however you said it, Ronald.
I should have slurred it. Just slurred it.
Yeah.
I think I slurred enough words today, and just because I'm tired.